Good morning, and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful morning. Just a few announcements before we begin worship. I want to thank Mr. Burnley Cook for that wonderful prelude, and the choir will practice on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. We will have our Bible study this week at the stairs Thursday at 1. Now, since the governor of Mississippi has issued an executive order prohibiting gatherings of more than 10, and because that order extends to April 17, we will not be able to place lilies in our sanctuary on Easter morning. So just take note of that. And our treasurer has again asked me to remind everyone that although our church website does enable folk to give using a credit card, he much prefers sending a check in the mail because that's easier to process. And you can send checks to Port Gibson, Post Office Box 517 in Port Gibson. Let us now be called to worship. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Let us worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, we would like to say that we have come together to worship you, but we haven't. We're scattered so far apart. Our lives have been turned upside down, and we wonder where you are in this mess. But wherever we are today, draw us close to you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Draw us into your presence, and help us to worship you as you deserve, in spirit and in truth. For we come claiming only the blood of Christ offered up for us, and offering the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your pew Bibles or your King James Version, if you're watching at home, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, that's not going to work. Blocking the camera. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 10. Now I will read the odd-numbered verses beginning with verse 1, and I will ask the congregation to respond with the even-numbered verses ending with verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 10. Let us read this portion of God's word responsively. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings,
as newborn babes, desire
the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Let us respond to this wonderful grace that the Lord has given us, his church, as we turn in our hymnals to selection 209, "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken." You can also find the words in your online worship service posted on the Facebook page. We'll sing all four stanzas of "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken." Let us stand to sing.
Oh,
We have sung the praise of our Lord. We have given God thanks for the gift of his church throughout all space and time. Let us now confess the faith of the church using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside your order, inside your front cover of your hymnal, or also in your online order of service. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our minute for mission today comes from one of our wonderful local mission agencies called Hands of Hope. Now, this mission agency has two areas of emphasis. One is in West Virginia and one is in Port Gibson. And this group does wonderful work in both places. But we have a letter from our Hands of Hope friends dated March 14. And telling us about their next, I'll just read the letter. Dear church members and friends, we thank you for your 2019 support of our food box program in McDowell County, West Virginia. Once again, we are seeking 50 people to pledge $10 per month so that Port Gibson Hands of Hope can send $500 per month to purchase food for these boxes. The Lord, through your pledges, has sent enough that we have been able to do this for 4 consecutive years. We are blessed by the awesome God we serve. We also send money for food boxes for Thanksgiving. This Thanksgiving blessing has now grown to the point that they moved to the local armory to accommodate the people. Thank you again for your support. In the past, many contributors have given the entire $120 for the year as a lump sum and have requested to be reminded when it was next due. May 1st of 2020 will begin our new year. Please prayerfully seek God's will concerning this project. Although our churches and our community are small in the scheme of things, we have been blessed to serve a God who provides for all of our needs. He is worthy of all our praise. If monthly donations fit your budget better, that is fine. Please remember that your 2020 donations to our qualified 501c3 organization continue to be tax deductible. May God bless you. In his service, Port Gibson Hands of Hope Board. So if you'd like to make a gift, you can send it directly to the Port Gibson Hands of Hope, 411 Jackson Street in Port Gibson, Mississippi, or you can send it to our church, and we will combine the gifts and give them to Hands of Hope. A wonderful mission program. Let's continue to be in prayer for their work as well as helping them with our gifts and our service. Let's now prepare our hearts for prayer. As we take our hymnals in hand, we'll turn to selection 342, There is a Place of Quiet Rest. We'll sing all three stanzas. You can also find the words in your online order of service. There is a place of quiet rest. We'll sing all three stanzas and let us stand to sing.
Yeah.
be seated. And isn't that a wonderful reminder? Even as we have to be apart physically for some time, we know that we can draw near to the heart of God. We can do that now during our online worship service. We can also do that all the week long. Whenever we go to the Lord in prayer, we are drawing near to God. And so with a confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we are thankful that wherever two or three are gathered, you promised that you would be in the midst. And so we thank you, Lord, that we are gathered, not just in this place physically, but we're gathered wherever we're worshiping online, all over the country. Lord, we thank you that you are in our midst and that we can draw near to your heart, because, Lord, we need you today. We confess, O Lord, that this week it has been so easy for us to give in to the sins of fear and worry and doubt and anxiety. And yes, those are sins, because when we do those things, we're not trusting in you. We're not being confident in your grace, in your power, in your love, in your truth. When we're worrying, we're not praying. And when we pray, we find that we don't need to worry. And so today, Lord, let us put those worries aside and let us pray. No, rather, let us bring those things that we're worried about to you, because we know that you are able and we know that you are willing to accomplish your good and perfect will in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. Lord, we would begin our prayer for all of our mission agencies, for those who are rising up to help people in times of crisis. Today, O Lord, we pray for Hands of Hope in West Virginia and here in Port Gibson. Thank you for their faithful work in the past, and we thank you for all the ways they're helping folk today. Father, we pray for those who are feeding the hungry. We thank you for our school systems that have, even though the children are being taught from home, that the cafeterias are still open and they're still taking food to children who otherwise would not have a hot meal. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all of our healthcare professionals who literally are putting themselves in harm's way to keep the rest of us healthy. We pray for our doctors. We pray for our nurses. We pray for EMTs. We pray for nurse assistants. We pray for nurse practitioners. Lord, there's so many we can't even name all the titles, but you know them all. And we pray that you would put a hedge of protection around them, even as they seek to protect us. Father, we thank you for our leaders, and we've been listening to a lot of news conferences and proclamations and orders and all of this stuff coming on this week, and it seems like we've got people telling us all kinds of different things. But Lord, we do thank you that our president, our governor, our board of supervisors, and our mayor are all on the same page at this time, and they're all encouraging us to be apart physically for a while to protect those among us who are at risk. And so, Lord, we want to pray for our leaders at every level. Lord, for those who make policy and for those who have to enforce it. Father, we pray for all of them, that you would give them the desire to know your will, that you would give them the wisdom to discern your will. We pray that you would give them the courage to do your will. And Lord, help us as followers, as those who have elected these public officials, give us the grace to follow. To take seriously what they're telling us, and to try to do what we can to bless those who are in danger. Father, we want to pray for our church leaders as well. There are so many who have so many different things that they're trying to do. Lord, so many pastors have been trying to learn how to do what we're doing this morning and do online worship. And Lord, for many of us, it's been a real struggle. But we pray, our Father, for all the pastors who are trying to minister to their flocks during this time when we can't see and shake hands and give hugs and do all the things that we're accustomed to doing. Lord, give us creativity and courage to reach out in the ways that we can. And Lord, I pray for all of the members of all the churches that are represented here today. Lord, give us the desire to reach out to one another, to make contact, to offer to help, to do whatever it is that we can do to create community, to create a sense of love and belonging, even in this time when we have to be physically apart. And Father, we don't want to neglect those who are sick. Lord, there are many people who are sick from all kinds of reasons, not just this new virus. But Lord, we know that there's this virus going around, and people, some that we know, have gotten it, and some are in the hospital, and some are scared. Lord, we want to pray for all of those who are sick. You are the great physician. We pray that you would work through the doctors and the nurses and all the healthcare professionals to bring healing. We pray, Lord, that you would bring miracles of healing, that we would have reasons to give you praise for what you have done. And Lord, we ask that for all of those who are sick, that you would provide your comforting presence, that you would help them to realize that what we are experiencing right now, that you are everywhere. You are with everyone who loves and trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, you are in us. And so help us, Lord, as we meditate on that wonderful truth today, help us, Lord, to spread that hope, that truth that you are with us no matter what we're going through. Give us hope that we might give hope to others. And we ask that as we open your word, you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and help us, Lord, to understand your word and to carry it into the world however we can this week. And we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Today, we turn to Psalm 84 for our Old Testament reading. We've already read 1 Peter chapter 2. Today, we're going to turn to Psalm 84. This is in the King James Version, and it says, it begins, "How amiable are thy tabernacles." A more modern translation might say, "How lovely are your dwelling places." But it is the same sentiment. Psalm 84, we'll read the entire psalm, and you can find it either in your King James Version or your own translation, or you can follow along in your online order of service. "To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Thus far, God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. Well, after just a few weeks of social distancing, I'm sure at least some of us share the sort of longing expressed in this psalm, the desire the sons of Korah had to go to the temple. After all, they were the Levites who were in charge of the music that was performed during worship. And as I suppose we've all discovered, even the best speakers on your computer just can't match hearing and singing along with a pipe organ or a piano in person. No, the authors of this song wanted to sing it, and they wanted to sing it in the only place they could be sure that God was present, in the tabernacle or the temple described in the law of Moses. Now, we know that it is no longer necessary to travel to any one spot to worship God. After all, just last week we had folks joining in by Facebook live stream, not only from all over Claiborne and Warren counties, but from as far away as Georgia and North Carolina and Michigan. And today I notice we have folk from Louisiana and folk from Alabama, and we're gathering from lots of different places. Today we are proof positive of what Peter said in our responsive reading from chapter 2 of his first epistle today. All those who love and trust the Lord Jesus, regardless of denomination, regardless of race, regardless of place, all of us are lively or living stones. Joining together, we make up the true temple of God. We can worship God wherever we are. Praise the Lord. Moreover, we know that it is no longer necessary to bring sacrifices to an altar in order to be forgiven of our sins. Because of the perfect sacrifice of Christ, all those who trust in Him have become part of a royal priesthood. We are free to offer up our prayers and our praise from wherever we are. Of course, that doesn't mean that we living stones don't long to assemble ourselves regularly, to gather in worship, to gather in service, to demonstrate the reality of Christ, the Christ who is so precious to us. No, just like those sons of Korah, especially in this time of social distancing, we long to be with other believers. We long to come together as the true temple of God. So why do we have this longing? What is it that corporate worship does for us that we can't do in our normal quiet times? And how can we enjoy our connections even during this time when we have to be physically separated? How can we come to the temple wherever we are? Well, the fact is that even in the best of times, none of the sons of Korah were allowed to go into the temple, right? I mean, only the priests could go in. So the sons of Korah, along with the rest of the Levites, well, they made up the temple's support staff. And they were only allowed to work in the courtyard surrounding the temple while the great drama of sacrifice and atonement was played out before them by the priests. But the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, the place where God was symbolically present among His people, well, that was even more exclusive. See, that was off limits to everyone except the high priest. And he could only go into the Holy of Holies one time a year, and only if he carried the blood of a sacrifice with him. And only after he first filled the whole room with so much smoke of incense that he couldn't see anything inside anyway. And so I think we can understand why verse 10 is written the way that it is. Just like most of the Old Testament worshipers, the sons of Korah could only go as far as the courts. Could only go as far as the courtyard surrounding the building of the temple. They could go up to the door, as it were. They could go up to the door of God's house. They could stand by the threshold, but they couldn't go in. The birds mentioned in verse 3 could fly in and out. They could get a lot closer to God, in a sense, than the sons of Korah could. And they longed to be like those little birds and be able to fly inside. So why couldn't they go in? Well, their problem wasn't a physical virus that made it dangerous for them to congregate. No. Theirs was a spiritual problem. For they understood that it was only the animal sacrifices that were constantly being made out front of the temple. It was only the blood and the death that they saw and they heard and they smelled all around them. Only that enabled them to approach God in all his holiness, in all his purity. And that is because of the sin that resides within all human hearts, past and present. And that is one of the big things that coming together as the people of God should do for us. Coming together as the people of God should remind us of our great need for Christ. For let's face it, as we go through our normal week, it's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy for us to start thinking more of ourselves than we should. It's easy for us to imagine that because we get a lot of tasks accomplished, that we're somehow in charge of our lives. It's easy for us to compare ourselves favorably to the people we see around us. It's easy for us to consider ourselves more hardworking or more self-disciplined than they are. Or perhaps, on the other hand, we give ourselves over to envy, coveting others' possessions, or resenting those around us for the health and happiness they seem to have. In short, a worldly perspective often leaves us proud or depressed, or in these days, fearful and anxious. Oh, but when we come together as a people of God, so many of those delusions just vanish, don't they? For as we gather around the Word of God, as we allow the Word of God to become the true rule of our faith and practice, as we read God's perfect law of love, love for God, love for others, when the Word encounters our life, it's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard to go on imagining that we're something. It's so hard to go on imagining that we deserve really anything more than those animals received on that Old Testament altar. The Word of God convicts us when we gather around it. And as we're honest with our Christian brothers and sisters, as we gather and as we share God's Word and as we ask how we're doing, we can hold one another accountable, can't we? We can puncture each other's illusions. We can shine the light of God's truth and love into the darkest places of each of our hearts. That's why Peter urged us in our responsive reading to long for the pure milk of the Word of God. The Word of God, which alone can help us grow into the likeness of Christ. And that's one reason why the sons of Korah were so eager to stand in the courtyards of the temple. They wanted to be reminded by the sight and the sound and the smell. They wanted to be reminded of their need for a sacrifice to pay for their sins, a reminder they could only get in the temple. So how can we preserve that kind of perspective? How can we preserve that God-centered perspective on our lives when we can't come to worship every week? Well, one way to do is what we're doing right now, what many of us are doing, to engage with all the online resources that are now available to us. Whether you're participating at this very hour or whether you have to tune in later, you can allow the Word of God to comfort you. You can allow the Word of God to challenge you, even if you have to stay home. And you don't have to wait for Sundays to come along. I mean, both on Facebook and on the First Port Gibson website, you can find daily readings that will carry you through the Bible in a year, along with daily devotionals based on those readings. And as you read the scriptures, either alone or with your family, allow them to sink in. Allow them to convict you. Allow them to point out any areas of your life that need to come into greater conformity with God's Word. Allow the Word of God to be a ruler and hold it up to your life. And then go to the Lord in prayer and confess those things. Whatever is out of accord with God's Word, and turn away from those things. Allow God's Word to do for you what the altar in the temple did for the sons of Korah. Allow it to draw you closer to your Savior. Allow it to refer you to your need for a Savior. But of course, the sons of Korah didn't just dwell on their sin when they came to the temple. They also looked forward to the ultimate solution God had provided for sin. Of course, there were the animal sacrifices made on the altar, but did you notice that they got a glimpse of something better? They got a glimpse of the perfect sacrifice of the Messiah. Notice that in verse 9, they appeal to God to look on their shield, on the face of God's anointed. And we still offer the same sort of prayer today, don't we? We plead the blood of Christ. We plead that the blood of God's anointed would shield us from the consequences that our sins deserve. We rely on God's anointed, on God's Messiah, to forgive us and to cleanse us and to make us worthy to come. To come not only up to the threshold of God's house, not only into the courtyard surrounding God's house, but to allow us, to cleanse us, to make us worthy, to come all the way inside. We depend on the Spirit of Christ to fill us up and to make us truly part of the temple of God, the place where God now dwells on the earth. And that brings us to the next great thing that we do in corporate worship. For if our worship convicts us of our sin, our worship also allows us to praise God for providing us a Savior. For when we stand shoulder to shoulder with fellow Christians, when we confess our common faith, that we can only be saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, it's hard to go on believing, isn't it? It's hard to go on believing what Satan tells us, that we're no good, that we're nothing more than a rabble of unworthy sinners. No, when we gather, we rejoice that we are a rabble of forgiven sinners. We rejoice, we remind one another of how blessed we are. We rejoice that God has chosen us to be His own people. God has called us out of darkness. God has called us into His marvelous light. God has formed us into one true body. That God has built all of us into one great temple. Regardless of denomination, regardless of race, regardless of place, one temple in which God lives among us and within us. That's what we experience in corporate worship. That praise of God. But can we praise God even when we can't come together for corporate worship? Sure we can. Sure we can. I mean, what do you do? What do you do when you find a new restaurant you like? What do you do when you buy a new car or another new kind of product that you really enjoy? What do you do when you're watching a game on TV or in the stands and your team makes a spectacular play? Sure, you talk to the people around you, but let's face it, you also whip out your phone and you send a text or you send an email or you put it on social media, something like this. Did you see that? You gotta see this. You gotta try this. We want everybody to know. Well, in the same way, when we, however we get in touch with one another these days, we can choose to give those kinds of messages. Instead of sharing our fear and our dread and our anxiety, why don't we talk about the great things God has done for us? Why don't we share the blessings that God has brought our way? Why not express our confidence in God to one another? Why don't we praise Him to one another, as the sons of Korah put it in verse 4. Those who are dwelling in God's house are always praising Him. Just so, since Peter reminds us that we are, in fact, living stones making up the temple in which God dwells, since God lives within us in the person of His Holy Spirit, since God has made us a royal priesthood and a holy nation wherever we are, then shouldn't our lips be constantly filled with God's praise? And shouldn't we expect both the convicting power of God's word and the uplifting power of God's praise. Shouldn't we expect that to transform our lives all week long, wherever we are? Oh, but there's one more thing that corporate worship did for the sons of Korah. Indeed, for all who traveled to and from the temple. That's what he describes in verses 5 through 7, that journey. Verse 6 recognizes that Sunday mornings are not always full of sunshine and roses. Sometimes, as young mothers know, you have a struggle just to get your kids ready to come to church. And of course, we all know that sometimes you have to travel on other journeys to get to God. Verse 6 describes traveling through the valley of Baca. We're not exactly sure what that meant. Baca may refer to a place where balsam trees grow. In other words, a dry place. We all know what it's like to go through dry spiritual places, don't we? Times when God seems far away from us. Times when it feels like our prayers aren't getting any higher than the ceiling. The word Baca may also mean the valley of weeping. And we all know what that's like, to go through times of grief and mourning. We know what it's like. We do. We know what it's like to worship when our heart's not in it. We know what it's like to worship when we're stressed out, when we're weighed down by fear or dread or grief. Maybe that's where some of you are this morning. Maybe you're traveling through the valley of Baca to get to worship today. Oh, but what happens when God's people go through the valley of Baca? We know that when they get to worship, there's that conviction and there's that praise. But what happens as they're going through that valley? That valley, that time of dryness, that time of grief, what happens? Verse 7 says, those whose hearts are set on God will go from strength to strength. Verse 5 reminds us that when we are at the end of our rope, we can always find our strength in God, the one who not only forgives us of our sins, but the one who holds us close to Him, even if we don't feel His presence. The one who loves us, even in our time of greatest grief. The good news is that even in the valley of Baca, no matter what is happening in our lives, we can always draw strength from the Almighty God who loved us enough to die for us. And of course, we receive all these blessings in a special way in corporate worship, don't we? How many times has our faith been encouraged by others when God seems so distant? How many times has just being with fellow believers helped us, even in our times of deepest grief and sorrow? Just being around other believers is such a help. No, it's no wonder that we miss that togetherness, we miss that closeness, especially in times like these. But did you notice what the sons of Korah said in verse 6? They said that when God's people gather and head on their way to the temple, they not only overcome the circumstances of their lives, they not only go through the valley of Baca, they also somehow transform the world around them. Did you notice that? As we pass through the valley of Baca, as we worshipers pass through the places of dryness, through the places of grief, suddenly it's a well. Suddenly a spring of water appears. Somehow the rains from God come that fill the dry places. The rains come and refresh the souls of those who grieve. And that's the good news for all of us today, wherever we are. Even if we cannot gather physically for corporate worship, those of us who have experienced God's love, those of us who have access to God's strength, those of us who live by faith in Christ, have the Holy Spirit living within us. And that means that we have the opportunity as Jesus said, that out of our hearts would flow rivers of living water. We have the opportunity to share the light of God, to share the love of God, to share the truth of God wherever we are, with whomever we are. Those who are having to spend a lot more time with family than they're used to can show more kindness, more consideration, especially when we're all getting a little stir crazy. Those whose connections are purely electronic can still send messages of encouragement, express concern, and love. We can help each other out however we can. Hey, I'm going to the store. Can I pick up something for you so you don't have to get out? And we can all pray for one another no matter where we are. As we travel through the dry and through the grievous times, we can be that water for others. So who knows? Who knows? Even though we can't gather physically as the temple of God right now, who knows? Maybe as we spend more time in God's word and in prayer, maybe as we confess and repent of our sin, maybe as we spend more time in praise and less time stressing out or complaining about our problems. Maybe as we not only talk of God's love, but as we live it out in our lives, as we carry the blessings of the temple to those around us, who knows? Could it be that some of those dry places will start to get a few showers? Could it be that God will start to wipe away, wash away some of those tears? Yes, as the ending of this psalm makes clear, our God is a sun, our God is a shield for us wherever we are. He gives us His grace and His glory as we stay close to Him, as we walk in His ways. So if we want to be sure of God's blessings for ourselves and for our loved ones, let's put our trust in Him. Let's put our trust in Him wherever we are today. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, which fills all those who trust in you. Thank you for your promise to be with us wherever we are. Thank you for your word which shines a light even into the parts of our lives that we might want to hide right now. Thank you for your word which convicts us, brings us to repentance. Thank you for your word which promises forgiveness for all who would come to you in faith. And yes, Lord, thank you for all those around us, wherever we are. Thank you for the saints. Thank you for the church of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, this week to be the church, to draw close to you in prayer, to draw close to you in your word, to share that word with others, to share your praise with others, and then to show your love to others. Help us, Lord, for we offer this prayer in the name of your living word, the name of your perfect sacrifice, the name of the one who fills the temple with his presence, even the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is sweet to trust in the Lord, and we can trust in him. Let's take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 312. You can also find the words in your online order of service. We'll sing all four stanzas of "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And let us stand to sing. that be our prayer this week, that God would give us more grace to trust in Him no matter what's going on in our lives. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.